From the Art Center in downtown Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio, and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. It's good to be back live instead of Simeon one more time. Just want to say I've got my guests this morning are historian Bob Crowley and, of course, Rocco Nitoli on the board. We've got some real treats for you today musically, and I'm actually to make the music is intended to make the medicine go down sweeter, like in that Sound of Music. I'm going to be reading aspects of the Constitution of the United States of America. This is going to be a real Americana show today. Since I've been asked to play Ernest Hemingway in an upcoming Rob Underhill film, I figured I might as well get my Americana in shape. So that's part of what today is. But I just think it's time a lot of us woke up to the rights we have and do more to protect them so that our soldiers fighting bloody wars abroad aren't the only ones doing anything to preserve the freedoms that we stand for. We have to do a lot more here at home by keeping our politicians in shape so that these sons and daughters we have going overseas fighting for us actually have something worth coming home to. And that's my pet peeve. That's my soapbox today. So I'm going to go over the Bill of Rights at some point, and Rocco and Bob Crowley will then make some aspects of it even clearer to those of us listening. I want to mention very quickly that the historic Carolina Theater of Durham is back on board as my underwriter. So I want to give them a quick shout out. I'm going to be working Paula Poundstone on the 6th of this month, December 6th, the comedian. She'll be there, but they have all kinds of good stuff. So just go to www.carolinatheater.org and check them out. Also, the one and only Apex Arts Council, of which Bob Crowley is president, also stepped in as underwriter, and they're maintaining. So we're on a really good course. Just want you folks to soak up a little Americana with the three of us here in the studio today. We'll get back to you in a minute. Enjoy the music.
God done shed his grace on thee. Yes, he did. Any brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Tuned to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater at 103.5 FM, Community Radio WCOM. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. Now here's Claudio.
I'm going to open with the Constitution, the preamble. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. I give you the Bill of Rights. Amendments to the Constitution of the United States of America. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. The Second Amendment. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of for a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers and effects, against unreasonable searches and seizures, shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched, and the persons or things to be seized. The Fifth Amendment. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime, unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offence to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. The Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the 10th Amendment. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
You're listening to Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater, heard at 103.5 FM WCOM. Now here's Claudio.
And glad you're still with us. That was kind of fun going through the Bill of Rights. What I'm going to do now is leave it open to interpretation and discussion between my co-host Rocco, my friend and historian Bob Crowley, and myself. I'm going to be the one that allows himself to get educated here. So, hey, guys, take it away.
Educated. That's great. But that was quite an introduction. I mean, wow, that whole thing right from the beginning. It's we have to save this and play it on 4th of July.
Yes, it would be appropriate for the 4th of July, but really my point in doing it today was it's appropriate all the time.
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And we need to really understand all the words that you just read. It's really important to us. It's important to us every day. Right from the very beginning. Notice what it says right in the beginning of that preamble. The first few words, we the people.
Yes.
It's not the government. It's not some great monarch. It's we. It's our government. When we complain about the government did this to me, remember, you did it to yourself. Because it's we the people, and we do have the power of redress.
And the fact that they're running away with the apple cart right now is because we're letting them.
Exactly. The United States is a wonderful country, but the people here seems to have just gone to a mentality of the 15-second soundbite. If you can't listen to it in 15 seconds, that's all it is, and I don't want to deal with it.
And being international myself, the international community sees America as being afraid of their government, which is a joke.
Yeah, there's no reason
we need to kick some butt to change that perception, because perception is politics, let's face it.
True. If the government is something to be feared, it's because we made it so.
Right.
Because that government is ours. We do have the right of redress. We do have the right of the vote. If you don't like your representative, get out there and work against them and make sure they vote. If you do like them, work for them.
Yes.
Put all your treasure in there.
Well, Bob and Claudio, I think a lot of Americans, they don't realize many things about the Constitution of the United States, yep. That it is the highest law of the land.
Right.
I used to teach school years ago, not that long ago, but the kids would always...
Yeah, stop dating yourself, Rocco.
The kids would always ask me, is the president higher than the Constitution? And
no.
I would say to them that the Constitution created the office of the president. If there were no Constitution of the United States, there would be no president. There'd be no executive branch of the government,
right,
or legislative branch, which is the Congress made up of the Senate and the House of Representatives and the Supreme Court, which is the highest court in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And so many Americans, they have this vague idea, I believe, about the Constitution, but it is such a beautiful document for what it is. It's vague, but I believe the Founding Fathers made it vague on purpose because they wanted each generation to interpret what they were writing and making the law of the land,
right,
at the time.
For implementation, exactly.
For implementation to fit the needs of the society and the culture when it needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily see it as vague so much as broad. It's
there. Better word. You're
good,
right.
Good point.
Yeah,
good
because
point,
it's
Bob.
There, not necessary to be reinterpreted, but to give you a broad range of things. And then you can focus in on the various bits that you need to.
Well, Claudio, you read the First Amendment and the first 10 amendments to the, mm-hmm, Constitution, and that is really the only way the Constitution can be changed, is by,
right,
an amendment.
Right.
Right.
And the first 10 amendments were put in to protect individual rights for the individual.
The rights of the people.
Absolutely, which is the reason I stopped there, because there's way too much more to go into, but that is the crux of it.
And if you look at the First Amendment, which is basically freedom of speech,
yes,
what does that mean? Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? What does that,
yes,
mean? And it has to be interpreted by individual states,
sure,
the people at the time, they're making laws for the people, it's broad.
Well, the classic interpretation there, of course, is yelling fire in a crowded theater. Is that freedom of speech? Well, he's probably not a good idea, though.
I'm afraid we'll have to grin and bear it if we do want the overall right of freedom
of exactly.
speech.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think with freedom of speech, it's in the Constitution, it's there, but it is not absolute.
Right.
Right.
Meaning you really, under our laws, cannot go out there and say anything you want, because you might present a clear and present danger to other people.
True.
Right.
And you might be infringing on other people's rights,
but
because they don't want to hear what you have to say.
But you have to voice your opinion. You have the right to think on your own. It's not the kind of totalitarian state that if you make fun of the president, you're going to get hauled off to jail. And that's where the freedom of speech really comes in.
And I think the very spirit, and I've discovered this of myself during the course of my life, I can actually say that the three of us here in this room could agree to disagree and absolutely put that aside and live by it, not live by the notion that I've got to somehow subdue you to my way of thinking, but actually truly respect that someone has a different belief than you do and go on.
Right.
Continue. Just respect that privacy.
And don't forget the other two rights in that there, and that's religion and the press. You do have the right to worship in any way you wish, or not worship, if you will.
Right.
And no one can tell you how to do that, although many people have tried.
We need to tell that to some religious groups.
Oh, we won't even go there.
Yeah.
and the freedom of the press. The government cannot control the press. This is, WCOM is a wonderful example of that. We can say almost anything we wish here, as long as we don't incite a riot.
When it comes to the press, the fat cats keep claiming ownership, so they get to pipe out what they want.
They have the right to do that.
Yeah.
And whether it's Fox News, WCOM, WABC, or whatever, everybody has the right to do it, whether it's the News and Observer, the New York Times, or the Wall Street Journal.
How dare you breathe WCOM after Fox News?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but I wanted to show both sides of the coin there.
No, I hear you.
Well, I think the beauty of the Constitution is that it is the glue that holds all of the laws in this country together.
Yes. And it is a reference point that we can go to at any given time, and we can wave that book if we have to.
Also, I believe it is the most copied government document that forms a government and establishes a government of any other document that's ever been written in the world.
Any country that's in the process of overthrowing a dictator looks to what we have.
Right. They may not use it word for word, but they use it as a basis. And there are many countries who have done that over the last 200 years. Absolutely.
So shall we pick these apart? I just realized we've been discussing Amendment 1. Amendment 2, which would be a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You had an interesting point earlier.
Yeah, that's one that's that gets bandied about constantly under gun control and all sorts of things. And if you really understand what was being thought about back in the late 1770s, early 1780s when this was written, the idea was that we would be able to overthrow a government if we needed to. But it does not guarantee, and this is my personal interpretation, it does not guarantee the individual right to buy. The people have the right to keep and bear arms. You can keep a local militia. You can keep
suggesting a collective.
Exactly. You're not there. It does not necessarily, and this is open interpretation by people that other than me, it does not necessarily give you the right to keep an assault weapon in your house. It gives you the right to be part of a local militia, but not necessarily carry the piece around with you as you walk down the street. And that's my belief.
Not be a one-man militia.
Sure.
Rocco, do you have any input on that?
Well, I think the Second Amendment has been tossed around for the last 200 years. And really, it was basically, I think, dormant for maybe 75, 80 years.
Right.
The Constitution, I think, was ratified in 1789.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until maybe the 1870s or 80s that things started changing with carrying firearms in cities and anywhere you want to go.
Right.
But because we've come from this frontier society, culture, mentality.
In which they actually used to shoot politicians that weren't playing right.
That's right. Again, you had different states want certain laws with guns and firearms, mm-hmm. and other states didn't want that. And that gets back to what's called the powers of the Constitution, which are either delegated or concurrent or implied. Right. There's three powers mm-hmm. that the Constitution has. The concurrent powers are powers that are shared by different states and right. different parts of the government. Mm-hmm. And delegated powers are these powers that are just delegated absolutely, and that's it. And then you have the implied powers that, again, are broad, and different parts of the government have these powers. For example, I think it's either the 13th or 14th Amendment that will give powers to the states that the federal government cannot take away.
I actually think that's in the 10th mm-hmm. there.
Or the 10th, I'm
the
sorry.
The 10th, yes, yes.
But the point is, this gun control issue is not going to go away.
No, it's not.
And
everybody's using it for their own designs.
Yeah.
Especially the gun companies.
The laws about guns have changed.
They have.
In 1900, in 1950, they were different.
Right.
They're different from 1950 now. In 1950, you could buy a handgun in this country,
right.
and they'd send it to you through the U.S. mail.
Sure.
Yeah, right.
If you sent them a check.
Right. Now you have to get a proper thing. And the change is different all the way back from from 1800 as well. In 1800, everyone needed it because that's how you got meat. And for most of your most right. people here, the people in cities, perhaps not
venison.
But I'm a gun owner myself, and I am a shooter, and I do not believe that we should eliminate all guns. I just think that there's been a misinterpretation of this, thinking that it guarantees you the right to start your own army.
We don't need to own machine guns. Right?
Well, the people that have the guns, I think many of them feel like if it were not for the Second Amendment, where you have that phrase, the people shall have the right to keep and bear arms, mm-hmm. if that were not in the Second Amendment, there's no telling how the gun laws would have evolved over the last 230 years.
I agree. I just think personally, I think we went too far with it, but that's, like I say, that's only my personal opinion.
Well, let's nibble on one more, and then I want to go to some music that Rocco has selected for us. By the way, your musical selections are Oscar-winning this morning. I love them.
At least.
Have a good one coming up.
Good, I know. This is the Third Amendment, and I'm a little foggy about this one, so maybe you guys can cue me in. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law.
Yeah, that one is probably not as relevant today as it was in 1789. Back then,
Revolutionary times.
Yeah, revolutionary times. And it addresses a practice that was common in the time in the British Army and the Napoleonic armies and so on, that if they moved into an area, they didn't necessarily set up a bunch of tents out in the field. They just walked into your house and said, "Okay, we're going to quarter 40 soldiers here, and you've got to feed them and take care
whether
of them."
Whether you like it or not. Law of the land.
Yeah, and that was, I don't want to have a bunch of soldiers running around here raping my daughter and everything else. That's what that was directed toward. Now, I don't think the U.S. Army has done that in a while, and I certainly hope they haven't. Marines may. No, I. But that's really where that is. So that one, mm-hmm. it's a good idea to have it. You never know, but it's
well,
not.
Well, also, I think, Bob, that amendment is coming from the government that the United States had before the Constitution. You see, the
There's
Constitution
the point.
Was not the first federal government for the United States. There was a government in place that was called the Articles of Confederation.
Right.
And the articles were very vague, and they primarily favored states' rights. The states had more power than the federal government to coin money, to make laws, treaties even,
right.
I believe.
Almost like countries unto themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, the states are designed. I mean, the original design, the concept was that they would be countries, sub-countries, the idea of uniting all of these sub-countries under this constitution was one of the radical ideas that the world looked at and said it can't be done. Shelby Foote, one of the great historians of the time, always made the point that the Civil War was a great turning point because before then people said the United States are, and after that it was the United States is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we became one after that.
And I think a lot of that early consciousness, too, came from the European settlers here, because that's what they were used to.
Yes.
Well, these Articles of Confederation, they didn't work.
Right.
And if the government was going to continue to try to the federal government was going to continue to try to operate under the Articles of Confederation, the country probably would have drifted apart.
Yes.
And there wouldn't
no doubt.
Be
yeah, I could see that.
What became the original 13 states. And we would have a whole different world.
Boy, have we
today.
Sprung from there. Cue us into what this music coming up is.
This is a piece of music by James Taylor and Mark Knopfler. Mark Knopfler was the lead singer of Dire Straits.
Right.
The rock band
great
that
sound.
Was very, very popular out of Britain, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, James Taylor is so well known in this country. And they recorded something that's called Sailing to Philadelphia. And it's about two British fellas that were coming to Philadelphia. And they were surveyors, and they were going to draw the Mason-Dixon line to separate the states. It's a patriotic
type. So we're keeping on theme here.
We are. And it's this song is just done so well. And Mark Knopfler, James Taylor, and the background, the arrangement is just superb. It really is. And it's a piece
I'm really
of
glad
American
you,
history.
You came up with this out of your library.
Here we go.
I'm Jeremiah Dixon. I am a Geordie boy. Glass of wine with you, sir, and the ladies I'm enjoying. Old Durham and Northumberland is measured up by my own hand. It was my fate from birth to make my mark upon the earth.
He calls me Charlie Mason, stargazer am I. It seems that I was born to chart the evening sky. They'd cut me out for baking bread, but I had other dreams instead. This baker's boy from the West Country would join the Royal Society. We are sailing to Philadelphia, a world away from the coaly tide. Sailing to Philadelphia to draw the line, the Mason-Dixon line. Surveyor Dixon, but I swear you'll make me mad. The West will kill us both, you gullible Geordie lad. You talk of liberty, how can America be free? A Geordie and a baker's boy in the forests of the Iroquois.
Now hold your head up, Mason, see America lies there. The morning tide has raised the capes of Delaware. Come up and feel the sun, a new morning has begun. Another day will make it clear, star should guide us here. We are sailing to Philadelphia, a world away from the coaly tide. Sailing to Philadelphia to draw the line. The Mason Dixon line.
That make America strong and what our armed forces are fighting to defend. While many talk about these ideals, without action, they are just empty words. If you think America's military families deserve more, log on to thanksusa.org. It's a great way to thank our troops and give military families the gift of education. thanksusa.org. Scholarships for America's military families. You can make a difference.
You're listening to WCOM Community Radio for Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Support for the station comes from our underwriters as well as our contributors and volunteers. We are your voice in our community. Now back to Claudio.
And you're listening to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I want to acknowledge that I've got Bob Crowley, historian, friend in the studio, also Rocco Nitoli, all giving their viewpoints on the American Constitution and also the Bill of Rights. We've got an amazing selection of music here, for which I must credit Rocco. I want to mention very quickly that the Carolina Theatre of Durham, the historic Carolina Theatre of Durham, is my underwriter, as well as the Apex Arts Council, of which Bob is president, so I've got the big guy here.
Yes, I am.
And also want to mention very quickly, for those of you that are film buffs, Rob Underhill has got something coming up on the 5th. It's written up as Twilight Zone Meets Tales from the Crypt. Director Rob Underhill unveils his newest film, The Cameraman, which is episode 2 in his Fever Dreams series. Join him at Raleigh's Lincoln Theater on December 5th. That's on 126 East Cabarrus Street. The doors open at 7 p.m. Rob will accept the award for Best Regional Filmmaker and be a top contender for the National Awards, in which 82 cities participate. So some good things happening there. And I think right after the film, the whole place is just going to turn into a party. So that'll be at Lincoln Theater in downtown Raleigh on 126 East Cabarrus Street.
I think he has a production coming up. It's likely to get an Oscar for at least one of the actors, correct?
Ooh.
Somebody I understand is playing Ernest Hemingway. And
Yeah, I think I know that guy.
Yeah, like you.
This show is all about me getting my Hemingway together today. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's the word. And we got a little Gershwin coming at you. We're just going to keep this music sort of playing easily in the background as we get into discussing more of our Bill of Rights. I think we went as far as Amendment 3. Amendment 4, actually. No, we haven't touched on Amendment 4 yet, so we're going to. And that would be the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things being seized. So let's get into let's nibble on that one.
Well, that's important. That's your right to privacy. That's your right that the police cannot walk into your house unannounced and just immediately start searching for things. And when
and,
they find
and no drones hovering above my domicile, please.
Well, that's public space, so that could be. But yeah,
you just murdered it.
Yeah, well, you know,
public space. That is.
Yeah, that's it. But no, well, you have the right that you cannot be stopped on the street and just search without probable cause. There has to be a reason for the search, and it cannot be just some spurious reason. It has to be a real, honest reason, as it says.
Otherwise, you fall very easily into a police state. That's basically what our founders have. That's edged us against.
Exactly right. And then again, that's one of the things that was one of the problems during colonial times, that people could be just stopped on the street
and right.
Arrested for without probable cause, without due process.
I think we have to remember that the people who made the Constitution, they were a group of people that came here, and basically there were hardly any laws, and they had no rights. And that's why you have something like the Fourth Amendment mm-hmm. put in place to protect the rights that people should have.
Sure. I mean, back to in
implied powers.
In the old country, the king could just seize anything he wanted, you know, and that was it. We said, no, you cannot do that here.
Yeah, no power plays.
Nope. It's and you have the right to privacy. You can you know what you do is your business, and unless it's a crime against the state or the people or whatever, and it can be found out legitimately, then it's your business.
And bear in mind that these are the guises under which we send our children into foreign wars to protect these rights, to preserve what America is supposed to be.
Exactly.
And you know we've got to give them that to come home to if that's what they're shedding their blood for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment of indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service, in time of war, or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy, double jeopardy, of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And I think we've got to be really careful because our politician and our government, quote-unquote, which is to be us, we the people, of the people, for the people, is using the fear tactic of 9/11 and so on to diminish a lot of our rights. And we've got to be careful that they don't just walk out the window.
Yep. Now, this is the famous Fifth Amendment that everyone takes in court or in congressional hearings. You know, I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may tend to incriminate me.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Exactly what that's all about. At least that's one of the provisions of the Fifth Amendment. But it does go a little bit further, as you read there. And that's, again, important. If you cannot be compelled to testify against yourself, you cannot be arrested without proper...
In other words, if I'm going to be hung, don't make me tie the rope, huh?
You got it.
Mm-hmm. Also, someone has to be arraigned and charged with a crime.
Right.
They have to be charged in order to be forced to go into court.
And the witnesses have to be present
due process
to substantiate the charge.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's a very important right, and something that we do not want taken away or abridged in any way, shape, or form.
No more witch hunts.
Nope.
Nope. How about that sixth one, Claudia?
We're going there now. I'm just reading these again because I'm sure we can't remember every single word. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense.
Right, and that's another one that ties right onto it. This provides for the right for jury trial, speedy trial. That's one piece of it that's been argued a number of times. I mean, what constitutes a speedy trial? Is it like you get arrested and you go directly to court, or can you be held for a year while the court docket clears up?
Guantanamo comes to mind.
Well, again, you have these vague, broad concepts that are laws, but also if you read into that, it's for citizens of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
If someone is not a citizen, again, you get into another area.
It's a little
with
murky.
Guantanamo. Guantanamo is not in the United States here.
Right. Of course, it's covered under the War Act to some degree.
There's so many different issues with so many different angles that come into play.
It just bothers me that some of those people haven't even been accused of a crime and they've been there for 11 years.
Well, yeah, that's true. But again, that's a military court, and that's not necessarily covered by this.
Right.
Military courts are, to a great extent, accepted from this in some ways. But we do try to make them as fair as possible. At least we're supposed to.
In the meantime, we just need to make sure that our politicians do, our government does.
Mm-hmm.
What we need them and want them to do.
Right, and you're entitled to a jury of your peers. That's what the point of having the trial held in the district where the crime was committed.
Right.
You know, you can't steal something in Chapel Hill and be tried in Utah.
Yeah, right. Utah, they'll sentence you to six wives.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
well, anyway, let's move along.
So let's go to number 7 here, amendment.
No more simple things.
Right.
Only intelligent choices to make. No simple solutions to anything anymore.
No, I'm afraid not. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that, Lucy.
Well, okay, Ricky. the idea there, of course, was that any significant suit that's brought that is $20 or more requires a little bit more scrutiny than a simple, hey, buddy, you owe me $10, you know, that kind of thing. So the right to use of a jury to try that kind of a suit is guaranteed there. And then you also have the ability that once that's been decided, you can't suddenly go to another court and have it re-decided. You have to find other grounds for it if it requires something. For instance, I can think of a famous trial not too long ago where someone was acquitted in criminal court but then was brought to bear in civil court. Now, that's something different. It was based on different charges and so on. It's getting a little close to the wind, but it is different. But the idea is that once you've been tried, that's it. That's the decision. You can't go back on it. A lot of people also mistake the appellate courts in this as a second trial. It's not. The appellate court is there just to look at procedure.
Well, all of this has come about over time. The Constitution does not differentiate between a felony and a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing in there that says that. But things that happen and are brought to the courts will rule on them, but if it is not unconstitutional, then it'll fly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why different leaders in the government will propose things and laws can be made because they are not unconstitutional.
Right.
So in other words, you can be proactive long as you're not going against something illegal in the Constitution.
Exactly.
So everything's open out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, if there's a question about it, then the courts have to decide what is constitutional and what isn't.
Right.
And the Supreme Court is always the last word.
Yes.
But things have just evolved. There's nothing in the Constitution that says anything about democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Democracy is not, the word is not even in the Constitution.
Nope.
And then you could look at something like atomic energy, which came about 200 years, 190 years after the Constitution was written, and things are being done all the time, and they're not unconstitutional.
No, they're not.
Right.
With the way people handle atomic energy, whether for weapons or for power.
Sure. And that's why the broadness of the Constitution works well for us, because it can encompass new things when necessary. And it is not necessary to write a new amendment for every last
that's right.
bit of a public opinion.
We got about 5 to 8 minutes to go, so we're going to bring this to a wrap slowly but surely. But I'm going to go to Amendment 8, which says excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And I guess that plays right in with what you
exactly,
were saying.
Exactly, yeah. You're not allowed to be punished. You can't be hung up by your thumbs anymore. That's cruel. But again, the broadness plays in here. What exactly does that mean? What is cruel? What is unusual?
It always goes back to who is interpreting the
pretty
law.
Much, yep. Yes. Administration, et cetera, et cetera.
Judges,
yeah.
Yep.
What have you.
Let's go to the Ninth Amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people.
Right. So even though that there's a right put into the Constitution, even though that the Constitution says one thing, if it doesn't say something specific, people still have it. That's it. And that's the way it is. The bits and pieces that are outside the Constitution are retained by the people, the states, and the local governments.
That's exactly what we were saying.
Yep.
And finally, closing the Bill of Rights here. I'm not reading all of the amendments. There will be a time that I do embark on that journey. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Right.
The reserve powers, where the states have all the power they need unless it's specifically delegated to the federal government.
States' rights. We fought a war about this 140 years ago. And that's what it was all about. Does the state have the right to do things against the Constitution? And, no, the state doesn't have the right to do things that are not in the Constitution, but it's...
Or it's up to the Supreme Court
right.
to decide.
Right.
To see if there's another interpretation somehow.
Exactly.
But if it's not in the Constitution, state can do it as it will.
And the war you speak of is the Civil War.
Of course.
And that pretty much wraps up our chewing the bone on this fat. But
we'll probably hear from some people about it.
That's okay. I realize that this is not the 4th of July, but I just my point in delivering this sermon to you people out there today is that I think it's something that we need to make applicable every single day.
And if you replay it, it might be the 4th of July now.
It'll be my evergreen for the 4th of July. There we go.
And Claudio, in the background, we've been listening to George Gershwin's
Play
Rhapsody
Me a Gershwin Tune, Rhapsody in Blue. Let's pick up on that since they've been listening to us the whole time.
We have 3 minutes of Rhapsody in Blue left.
Well, on that note, I think what I'm going to do is bow out and just let you folks bow out with the music. Thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. My co-host Rocco Nitoli was on the board and is responsible for all the amazing music. And my friend, historian Bob Crowley, to my right here, thank you guys for analyzing this whole thing for me. I hope this has been helpful to anyone out there. I really think we need to take to heart that this is what we're here. This is what this country symbolizes to the world. We need to do a better job of defending it, and we need to kick some political ass. That's the end of this. The end of the note from the Speakeasy. I'm off my soapbox now. Take care. Cheers.